for your presence. And encourage you to follow along in our lesson, which we study a message from God's Word. To get today being Mother's Day, I doubt anybody's forgot that. I don't see any men with black eyes right now, so you've done pretty good so far, I guess. But it is a day that is designed and the holiday that has been established to celebrate mothers. I would qualify the lesson. There's lessons for all of us here. I'm not just preaching to the women. It is a topic that is based on passages of virtuous women of the Bible. It's what I want to look at today. I think there's some great lessons for us. And I got to be honest, I don't know what everybody individually thinks about this. You read Proverbs 31 about this worthy woman or virtuous woman, and there's some pretty humbling teachings there. You look at them and you apply them to ourselves. They're pretty humbling. I put this in a category like in a revolutionary category, kind of like Galatians 5 and the works of flesh through the Spirit. To me, it's a revolutionary mindset when it comes to the world's thinking, when it comes to our thinking, when it comes to our ancestors' thinking. I'm going to suggest that today. I think if we follow the lesson, I think you'll see where I'm going with this. Virtuous women of the Bible. In the times of Jesus walking upon the earth, the Jewish culture had a very, very condescending attitude towards women. They didn't think much of women. This is a quote, current day, of a Jewish prayer that said, even to this day. I found online, I have found other references, which I've lost from commentators, of Jews from 200 A.D., B.C., and back there sometime. This is today, even this day. Blessed are you, Lord our God, who has not made me a woman. Well, that's really empowering, ain't it? That makes, for men to say, I'm glad I'm not a woman. Well, so they said they're glad they're not a Gentile. They're glad they weren't born a Gentile. And, there may be blessings that we were born, say, we were born in a religious culture. There's a blessing to that. To me, this is condescending, though, right? It is. That is active prayer prayed today. And even this author that quoted this made a comment. He struggles with it. Well, that's good. Because God struggles with that idea, that concept, too. But, and in our society, there's hints of this in our New Testaments and Old Testaments even. In Matthew 23, it's referenced that the Pharisees, these great elite Jews, devoured widows' houses. What great men. They stole houses from widows. That's just impressive, ain't it? Grecian widows were neglected in Acts 7. We see that was in the church, or Acts 6, I'm sorry. There was a problem in the early church. They did not help all the widows the church was required or needed to help. Not just obligated, had the opportunity to help. They overlooked some. And the widow's prayer, although it's not specifically mentioned there, it's just another hint that women in these times lack standing. They lack supporters. They weren't empowered. If you got your bulletins today, there's one lesson in there about empowerment. And that lesson's for all of us. And I will take a moment to plug, I don't know if it's next week's lesson or if it's Memorial Day weekend lesson. I got a lesson on empowerment. I'm not going to use those words. I think you'll like it, though. I think. I'm looking forward to presenting that one. Stay tuned for that. And so they lack standing in this temple. There was segregation that took place in the temple. I circled it. If you got the printouts, and encourage you, take the printouts home, because there's other, if you study or read at home and you want to use this as a reference to go look at the entire context of some of what I talk about today, I encourage you to do that, because there's a whole lot more. I could have picked one of the women we talk about today and done a whole lesson on them, right? But I didn't. I chose not to. But in the Solomon's temple, well, this was not Solomon's. This was how Herod's temple, because it was rebuilt. There was a women's gate. Well, that gives you thoughts back in time when we had black people had a water fountain and white people had a water fountain. Black people used this door. White people used that door. I have a person, Debbie met her at work yesterday. Her grandparents lived in Batesville, Arkansas. She remembers going there as a kid and seeing those things. She's not that old. She's my age, 50s, 60s, 50s probably. There's segregation, right? So the women had their own court. The Gentiles had their court. You know, so they had a higher standing than the Gentiles. There's the Gentiles court. Gentiles are way outside. The women got a little bit closer, but you know, the lepers were here, and they stored some wood here. The Nazarites, you know, I don't know what they just, I didn't study what was going on with all these, and it's not my point to talk about what all these things were, but they were segregated. Now, I will say this, even in studying for this last day, I did some research, too, on the synagogues, because this is the temple. This is where the Jews would go on occasion every year, right? So there's always stuff going on here that the Jewish, the priests took care of, the Levitical priests took care of, blah, blah, blah. But, and the synagogue was basically the local church of Jesus' day, right? The synagogue was the local church for the Jew. And it is understood that they did not segregate in the synagogue, but they did at the temple level, okay? So there was this mindset. What is God's order? I love the way Proverbs 31 is introduced. The words of the king that his mother taught him. The worthy woman is what the king's mother taught him. And that is, to me, enlightening. It is a thought. Oh, let me back up a second before I get to that. Also, on this idea of social prejudice against women. Even today, here in our area, we had a marathon run. It's longer than a marathon. I should have looked it up. Market to Market, they call it. Somewhere up in Boone, there's relay teams. Or I guess it's one person running. Would run from Boone down to the market in Des Moines. That happened yesterday. In our culture today, 1970s, there was a woman who tried to run the Boston Marathon. Any of you remember that? I mean, I don't remember that. I was not that old. Mark, sorry, you're shaking your head. Just get this told on. Mark, he remembers that. Maybe you remember the story. Mark remembers the story. He's not that old. They literally, women were not allowed to run the Boston Marathon. Why? You're not capable. Any of y'all feel capable of running a marathon? Well, maybe you don't feel capable of running a marathon. You're too feeble. I'm blaming it on thicker, guys. But that was society's. And it was so ingrained in society, they literally tried to stop this woman, knock her down. And Catherine Switzer, if you want to look that up. In quoting here, women were not physiologically capable of running 26 miles. Our society has these prejudices. I remember John Wayne's got a movie. I'm pretty sure it is the one, Rooster Cogburn. And he said, Lord help us if they give them the right to vote. That was just early 1900s, right? Some of you might remember the day. I don't know. You think did we grow up with prejudice against women? I'm going to say absolutely. So let's, and the Jews had it. We're not immune to these things. It may look different than it did that day. We have prejudice in our society. We have been told things about women, and my presentation today is to give you God's view of the woman, women. Okay? So in Proverbs 31, that context there, back to where my point I took off from there. The words that the king's mother taught the king. Okay, the idea is, so who can find this virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. A great, great thing. And so what is this? Let's take a moment to talk about this word, virtuous. Again, there is and has been for many ages a prejudice against women. That word means strength, might, efficiency, wealth, an army. Does anything sound weak in that word view? I find it very prejudiced that they didn't say a woman of might in Proverbs, because that's the King James translators did that. Okay? The word chosen was the King James translators. How about a woman of strength? Could we apply that to the woman in Proverbs 31? Valor, to me, is a little better, or is approval. I would approve of that, if that matters to you. Valor's okay. Valor's, you know, that's a, but virtue, I mean, what's virtue? Could be anything. you think of a mental quality, or you know, she's a meek, virtuous woman, a meek woman, you know, but it doesn't, to me, virtue doesn't convey this idea of strength or might. Well, and so, if you look at Proverbs 31, I didn't, we could have read the whole chapter, Brian, but I thought we did enough. But look at this. So when we think of this idea of empowerment and our mindsets, what does God say about women and their virtue, their strength, or their value, about women? Notice verse 17. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Well, yeah. Okay. Strength and honor her clothing. There's some words there that hasn't always fit with society's view of women. It hasn't. So let's talk about mighty women. Okay? Mighty women of the Bible. And I see already I goofed up. When I translated the Spanish version, I did not translate that. This is a Spanish fuerza, I think. other words, the power, poderio. Strength and power are involved in those phrases as well in the Spanish version. Those strength is also used here in the verse 17 as well down here. And so that haciendosa is the Spanish, was translated. And again, I think that is actually efficiency in Spanish. Anyway, I didn't fix it up here. I still left that virtuous. I should have changed that on this slide. Virtuous. One of my favorite women of the Bible, I chose a few. Okay? First one I'm talking about is Rebecca. It was not noticeable to me until I like to run. You guys know that a little bit, right? So in Genesis 24, the chapter there is Abraham's servant is seeking a wife for Isaac. And lo and behold, here is Rebecca. Notice what it said about Rebecca. So this meets this mighty woman, this powerful woman, this woman of strength. A picture that I'm painting here, portrait. Okay, verse 16 through 20. She's retrieving containers of water out of a well. So she, this servant has 10 camels. I don't know if you've been around livestock before, but as a kid, we had cattle. They don't have a lot. We had 6 or 8. And we had the highest quality, because we was into recycling, we had the highest quality bathtub for one girl. We would fill it up. And you watch cows come up and drink, they will drink that thing down, and they'll drink it down quick. And these are not camels. And they're not in the desert. We turned the water hose on. This girl went down into the well, mind you, into the well. She walked down into the well, even in our day, I think of a well. Even a hand pump, sit there and pump, right? And then carry it to a trough. No, she went down into the well, climbed up out of the well with this container of water, and she watered, she gave water to the servant, and she watered 10 camels. Guys, that's work. That's strenuous. I did not research for this lesson how many gallons of water a camel would drink, but let me tell you, they can hold a lot of water each, a lot. And she carries one of them out. And not only she did that, after she got done with that, she runs home. And so if you look in the passage there in Genesis 24, in particular, starting verse 16, notice what's said about her there. And the damsel was very fair. She went down into the well and filled her pitcher, came up. Servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand, gave him drink, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also, until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher in the trough, and ran again into the well, and draw water, and drew for all of his camels. And so there's that picture that we see from Genesis of what Rebecca did. So she was a pretty mighty woman, pretty strong woman. And then after doing all that exercise, she runs home. And I don't know if you've thought about, the Middle East is not like Iowa. We kind of have gentle rolling hills. Not that that's not bad. Gentle rolling hills, you go out and climb these hills, and that we're talking about mountainous country. And she went, so she went to this well. Wherever she went, there's nothing. This is a mighty woman, a woman of great strength. Well, and then if you turn to Genesis 27, not so flattering. She had some fortitude about her, right? She made sure Jacob got Isaac's blessing. Remember that? That's not very flattering. She kind of pulled a Miriam. You know, there's some other, there's some not so honorable mentioned ones we can go to in the Bible. We won't talk about those today. So that didn't work out so good, you know, right? But she was a mighty woman. Ruth. And I preached this lesson in particular about Ruth. Remember, she is from Moabite, and she follows Naomi back into Israel, and she is now working to care for Naomi, whoever else might have been in the household. She went out to the fields. She worked from daylight to dark in this field harvesting, and she done it the entire season. I don't know. We spent a few hours working in Brian and Andy's garden. Let me tell you, it gets kind of tiring. You get back-breaking work. And she did it the whole season. Ruth was a mighty woman, wasn't she? She provided for her household. These are God's examples for us that I would suggest that our society is kind of overlooked, and maybe our people of our families have overlooked, and our own cultures have overlooked the strength. So basically, Ruth was an industrious and a hard worker. Something the word virtue to me just doesn't bring out, does it? She was a mighty woman. Tabitha. As Tabitha has died, and memorials are brought up about her, they talk about all the works and deeds that she done. Again, great woman, great character. Great character. They're in Acts 9, 36 through 43 talks about. And then we come to the Samaritan woman. Of all things, talking about someone in society who was an outcast, the woman of Samaria was an outcast. Certainly the Jews. She was not approved of just because she was Samaritan to begin with. Right? She didn't cut because of that. And even it says, if you go look, we studied in John in the morning, our Bible class, she meets Jesus, interacts with Jesus. Jesus' own disciples come, and say, I can't believe Jesus is sitting here talking to this woman. This woman of Samaria, Jesus is even talking to her. Why would he do that? But this woman, and a great evangelist for Jesus, because of what she does, she runs to the city, and she beats Jesus and his disciples there, and proclaims that Jesus must be the Messiah. And the results of her belief, the results of her confession, the results of this little moment in time that she took and went to the city and proclaimed Jesus the Messiah, many came to Jesus because of her. Verse 29 and 30 indicate. And again, verse 30, many believed because of her. There in John chapter 4, 29 through 30, 39. I would say she's a mighty woman, right? These are just the ones I picked. You got those that you might prefer. There are lessons, many. I picked these out personally and for various reasons. The king's mother said a mighty woman is of great value. God's word has shown women have great strength and have great value. A lot of times in our age and our culture, we don't recognize how God elevated women and gave them value and showed value to the men and to the world and to us today. Great things. And even though we know it's in many cases, some cases, leadership and certain things have been assigned to men's roles, it doesn't minimize or take away from the work that they do. You look at Tabitha, the Samaritan woman. Samaritan woman was an evangelist. Tabitha, or Dorcas, was an evangelist as well because her work spoke for her. Her work spoke for God. Her work spoke for godliness. What effect those people had on the early church. You know, even in Acts, as Paul is about to be apprehended, We find the prophetesses, the female prophets, of one. They had abilities. They had great value. They had great value in the early church. In 1 Corinthians 14, talks about miraculous and spiritual gifts. That they were to control as well as the men, right? They're great value. Great value. So in particular, is our base passage, the teachings of the king's mother, talking about this woman of great worth, this mighty woman, whose worth is far above rubies. And these, again, the ones I have selected to discuss today. Think about, contemplate on these things, study these things. So today is a day that we celebrate women, or mothers in particular, but women in general. I mean, there's not any men who celebrate motherhood today. Sorry, not happening, right? But our society's view of women and motherhood is skewed. Even today, as we sit here, our view of motherhood and women is set by those of our previous couple of generations. Again, just a few generations ago, you weren't allowed to vote. A few generations ago, weren't even allowed to run a race. You're too feeble. I don't know how we got to the blinders of that, because I'll guarantee, this is my thinking. Anybody who left Europe, wherever they came from, come over on a ship, had a lot of fortitude and strength to begin with. I mean, these people didn't come over here and stay at the Holiday Inn when they got to our country and order food out, did they? It was a hard life. Those people were tough. Those people did things that, for all of us, did. You know, Ruth working from sunup to sundown for an entire harvest season. You know, today we can jump on a tractor and work on that all day, and we'd be wore out just doing that. And they done it for a life, a livelihood, and they didn't have those conveniences we have today. And yet, we've come up with the idea that that women are less value, less strength. And that's not the case. We celebrate the great strength and abilities that women have, and mothers in particular. Note that God elevates the value of women. And I think these passages, I hope that my intention was to show that elevated value, the strength, give you the empowerment, maybe, that you think, maybe I've not been able or couldn't do such and such. Maybe that empowers you, those things. If you, I feel like if we read through Ecclesiastes, that's the next book. I'm still open to Proverbs 31. You read through that and look at each of this thing, each of the descriptions of this mighty woman, and there are some things that will humble us, humble all of us, right? God elevates their value. Discovering our worth. It's overcoming the prejudice. It is very much true, even up into the early 70s, that women were banned from running long distances. And that's just one example, guys. You probably know other ones. This one came out because I enjoy running, and I see content about that, and this idea about Catherine Switzer came up. You literally said that women were not physiologically able to run that long a distance. And I took a moment to look up. There's another young lady named Courtney DeWalter. She's actually from this way, Minnesota. It just makes it laughable. She has got, I think she's finished a 250-mile race, like 60 hours. This is the nonsense that we grew up, I'm using that word, I hope not offensive. I had a fellow runner laugh. She said, yeah, they thought women ran, they thought our uterus was going to fall out of our bodies. Really? But that's the culture we grew up in. Mighty women, women of strength, overcoming these misconceived ideas that this is just the way life is. God has shown us, and women have shown us from God's word, what great strength they have, what great value they have, and I hope the lesson maybe in some way is helpful to you, maybe empowering. I will spend another lesson talking about our own limitations as individuals, our own mindset. Did you know this idea of what we're taught as our limits in life is what we see as our limits? I was, some of you might know, there's a Silas Winters that runs for Iowa State University. He goes to church and met him. So, Sharon, you might have met him. Maybe didn't realize it. Therefore, the longest time, current age people, us, didn't think you could run a sub 4 minute mile. In other words, you couldn't run a mile in less than 4 minutes. And for decades and for as long as people try to run a mile, people could not cross that barrier. One day, one man did. Silas has run a 357 mile. People do it all the time now. Why? Because one person showed it could be done. You know who else we've shown the way for? Jesus our Savior. Shown the great and godly life that we can live here. He's done it in so many ways, so many the attitudes, the behaviors that he mimicked. He showed it can be done. He is our great standard. We look to him. We look to God and establish what are our limits. What should we do? What should we be active in? How should we perceive others? Yeah, our culture over the years has misconstrued and been on prejudice. We live in that day still. We're coming out of that day. We're living that day. But they have shown us the great pattern of what we can do. And here be the next Sunday or Sunday after next, I want to talk about all of us in particular, about what limits us in our minds. What is it in our life that I just can't do that? I'm not capable. Are you? We're going to talk about that. I'm going to preach that today. I'm not going to. Women of the Bible. Great and mighty women of the Bible. Hope this lesson is beneficial to you. Mothers, women, hope you have a great day today. It's your day. Enjoy. Have cake. Have donuts. Have two. Enjoy it. Hope your family celebrates it well and enjoy the day. Would you like to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? We want you to do that this very day. If you are a disciple and we could help you in any way, we want to know that as well. Won't you come while we stand and sing songs collectively?